I believe he was born in a manger bed as the stars shone bright that night. Wise men came to worship him with their gifts of pure delight. I believe he was born of a virgin birth, miraculous, it's true. I believe that this holy child grew up to be the deliverer for me and you.
I believe in the cross. I believe in the cleansing blood. I believe in a hill called Calvary where Jesus died for you and me. I believe that he lives, that he's coming back again. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Yes, I believe.
And I believe in his power to heal the sick, cause the blinded eyes to see. I believe all hell has to lose its hold when he sets that old demon free. I believe that he walked on the roughest seas, multiplied food to eat. I believe that he's given us the power to use his name with authority.
I believe in the cross. I believe in the cleansing blood. I believe in a hill called Calvary where Jesus died for you and me. I believe that he lives and that he's coming back again. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. This I believe. Oh.
Do you believe in the cross this morning? Say amen. 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 We believe in the cross. We believe in the blood. And we believe in the blessed hope, and that is the Lord's return for his church. And that could be this very hour. We never know. And because of that reality, we make ourselves ready and make sure we know him, make sure we're serving him, make sure we're repented up to date. And that way we can have a glad reunion when we see him. I want to say it's good to be here this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. And welcome to Calvary Baptist Church, Powder Springs. And we're excited today to see what the Lord's going to do. And I'm sure you felt the Lord's warm presence so far. And I tell you, up here it feels good anyway, singing in the choir. And I was tempted to sway a couple of times, Brother Harold. And I don't know how that would look with me, though. You know, it might look like a wave up there or something. And so I'll just keep the wave in my hair. How about that? But anyway, it's good to be here and good to see each and every one of you. And in just a moment, we're going to, not long, but I will mention a couple words on a missionary for today that we're highlighting. And also, CLU Brotherhood is today. And let me say this about the men's brotherhood. last month, we did a brief introduction on the Courageous study based upon the movie. And I've been praying about it. Brother Joe asked me would I teach the material. And of course, I said yes to that. But we're actually going to start watching the movie today, because there's a lot in the material, there's a lot in the material that refer back to the movie. And if everybody hasn't watched the movie, then I feel like we're losing in some part. And so for the Men's Brotherhood today, we're going to start watching the Courageous movie, and then we'll finish up next Brotherhood. We're going to take it slow. We really want to grasp it and get it, and we're not going to rush it. So remember that. A few updates. Brother James Townsend is out of the hospital, and so we praise the Lord for that. I believe he was in there close to 15 days. That's Shirley and James Townsend, and he's at home recovering, I'm sure, this morning. Miss Barbara Ann, she's still in the hospital. Okay, let's pray. I know we've been praying as a church for Miss Barbara Ann and Miss Barbara for strength, but let's really pray for her. And when we do pray in just a moment, let's take our time to pray for her and all these others. And, of course, let's remember the McCrickards. Special prayer request came in from them. And Cassie and Norma Karanovich, special prayer request received this morning. And Bobby McClendon's here. Nancy is at home with her dad, I'm sure. And is he doing okay, Bobby? What's his name, his first name? What's his first name? Roy. Let's remember Roy in our prayers. That's Nancy's father. And 94 years old, I believe. And congestive heart failure. He is at home with hospice care. That's where Nancy's at. And that's where they've both been at, taking care of him. And so let's remember him in our prayers. And we have some surgeries coming up this month. We did our best to put those in the bulletin, but I know Miss Melita's having a surgery. I know Christian's having wisdom teeth taken out. And so we've got surgeries and different things going on, people in and out of the hospital. Let's definitely remember these requests. Grab a bulletin, and it will show all the other requests and updates as well. And remember, this coming Saturday, the 23rd, will be our Jubilee prayer time, as we did last year. And then on next Sunday night will be our active shooter course. And we would love for everybody to be there, but it's hard to get everybody sometimes with the different things going on in life and ministry. And so I believe that the home is going to be coming back on next Sunday. And so what we are planning, I'll say this, and I'll turn it back over to Brother Allen after we pray. We want to reteach the course to those who aren't or will not be able to attend on next Sunday night. And so that way nothing's lost and everybody will be able to hear what we've talked about and come up with. And so just know that we're going to reteach. Someone will reteach what we've learned on next Sunday night. And, of course, Jubilee. Remember that as well. Great time for Calvary is Jubilee. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, no doubt the prayer request part of our bulletin of our church family, Lord, has been full. At one time last week, we had at least four of our people in the hospital. And Father, some are out, some are in, some thought they would come home and are not coming home at this point. We've got some at home hospice care. There's others getting ready to have surgery. And Lord, there's so much going on with health in the physical realm. And Father, I pray just the umbrella of prayer over all of these. Because God, I'll forget somebody. But you know each and every person, every life, every situation. I pray for a an umbrella of grace, an umbrella of mercy, protection. Let there be a calming of nerves and fear when it comes their time for surgery or just having to stay in the hospital. Lord, we love each and every person here at the church and those that that are abroad, that are affiliated some way of this church. We love them and pray for them. And Father, we do pray a special prayer over Roy this morning. That is Nancy's dad, God, that you would touch him in a very mighty way, oh Lord, as he's at home. And you've given him a full life, but I know that there's more life that that he would like to have. And so I pray that you would be with him and strengthen Nancy and Bobby as they attend to him. And Lord, we thank you for delivering James out of the hospital. But Father, we pray for his recovery, that you would strengthen his bones and breathe in his lungs and allow life, God, to continue and to not just be alive, but be lively. For Barbara Ann, Lord, who we thought was coming home the other day, is still there at Emory. And Lord, we pray for a miracle. God, I pray for a touch from God. You created these bodies. As we were talking with Miss Barbara the other day, you created these bodies. You used doctors to help tune up these bodies, but even when the doctors don't know what's going on, and even when medicine has failed, Lord, you are there, and you can touch, and you can uplift, and you can breathe life again into these decaying vessels that you'll claim one day. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. We're thankful for an active church. We're thankful for a full calendar. Let it continue. Let the enthusiasm and passion keep on moving here at Calvary. There is a work to do, a gospel to preach, a person to love. Lord, let it be, Lord, let it be. Bless the service this morning, and I'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Right quick, Brother Allen. Again, we're not going to... not going to spend much time on the missionary this month, not because of who they are, but just because we have a lot going on, and we're still in the process of updating and making changes to our missionary board. Again, Miss Chris is working with me, but I do want to highlight missionary Rick Whiteside that the church has been supporting for some time, and they're from Russia. They're Russian missionaries, or missionaries to Russia, I should say. The Republic of Belarus. I'm trying to read my handwriting here. And so, but you could check out the missionary wall. I just posted it. And we're going to have all updated missionary letters by the time Jubilee rolls around, which is in 2 Sundays. And so we can be happy and proud over that. It is a work in progress, but do pray for Rick Whiteside and the family, and that is missionaries to Belarus and Russia. Thank you, Brother Allen.
If you would stand with me this morning. Church, I want to ask you to stand with me as well. In a few moments, we're going to sing a chorus that we have sung here many times, but last night, my wife and I ran into a couple that we used to go to church with here at Calvary, a young couple. Of course, I told the class this morning, when you run into a couple that are in their 40s and you think they're young, something going south fast here. But they're actually members here at Calvary, and just haven't seen them in some time. Had dinner with them last night, and we were talking about a few things about church, but Terry and the young lady, I noticed them, they had kind of pulled aside, and I overheard them having a conversation. And I heard Terry saying, they were talking about someone, and said, well, they have had this test and that test, and they have this specialist and that specialist, and this is going on, and that's going on, and that she came back over to the table, and I said, boy, that's terrible. Who in the world were y'all talking about over there? She said, you. Boy, that was exciting. Every one of us in this room have all kind of stuff going on. There's not a one of us in this room that doesn't have some kind of a problem. We have sickness and all these things just come upon us. There's not a one of us in this room that would say, Father, would you give me some kind of a sickness or disease this week for me to carry around? Would we? Surgeries come. We don't ask for that, but it happens. We're going to be praying that we don't have any broken bones next week. Hallelujah. Amen. No accidents. Lord, going to be praying that we bring everybody home safe and sound. We got two musicians going on the trip, and we need them back for Jubilee. Amen. Right there. But I thought, you know what? We all have sorrows and difficulties. You're thinking, I'm having a difficult time standing up this long. Would you please hurry? I just want to see if we can kind of get the blood flowing this morning. Who knows, get enough blood flowing, we might raise our hands and worship in a little while. But at the name of Jesus, hear me, at the name of Jesus, sorrows, sickness, fears pass away. I'm afraid we get to the point, Brother Brian, that I don't know what it is. Are we afraid or ashamed to call on the name of Jesus and let those things go? Because there is something about the name of Jesus. There's power in His name. Brother Harold, there's forgiveness in His name. What was that statement, Pastor, you said a few minutes ago about getting ourselves, our repentance caught up? What was that?
Repented up to date.
Repented up to date. There's nothing I can do with all that stuff that's in the past, but I need to get repented up to date. That when I stand before Him, He's coming soon. Where will we be? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the sound of that trumpet took place this very morning and He took His church home? Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. The question is, remember me, I told some of y'all that I was at a church last week for a funeral, and the pastor said, Jesus is coming soon. Well, we've all heard that. We hear it all the time. We've got a book on the book of the Revelation that Brother Jack and Miss Jackie have made up, and you can get a copy of it and read all about Jesus is coming soon. But then He made that statement that so pierced my heart when He said, Jesus is coming soon. Where will you be? Will you be with the kids at a baseball game or watching the grandkids somewhere, or would you be here at church and we be singing a song like there's something about that name and the Lord just usher us right out of here? Where would you be physically? The question, though, is where would you be when you stand before Him? There's very little we can do. I go to the doctor all the time. That to me that she was talking about. I have EKGs and EEGs and ultrasounds. I got a specialist for the leg, one for the heart, one for the head. They're still looking for a brain. All this stuff. They have yet to find out what is wrong with me. Only He knows. But the ultimate question is, how is it with my soul? It's the only thing that's going to really matter. Can't do anything about anything else anyway. Am I right, Chris? I went to the physical terrorist for enough weeks to kill me. But the only thing that really matters, Larry, is how is it with my soul? So this morning when we stand before Him in the sanctuary and we are here corporately to worship Him, just for a moment, would you consider that it is, I mean, last week when He made that statement, Jesus is coming soon, where will you be when He comes back? It was, and you know, I mean, that place was packed. And when they have a funeral, they have a celebration. You know what I'm saying? They was rocking and rolling from the very first kickoff of the instruments. They know how to get it done. But it was as if though I was the only one in the building, Jesus just pulled me out and said, if I am coming soon, where are you going to be? So for a few moments, when we sing, would you for a few moments just let Him pull you aside and just you and Him spend a few moments together? And when we sing this song, can you truly worship Him? Or is there something that would cause you to say, you know what? What I really need to do is go down and spend a little time with Him. What was that statement again? Maybe I need to get repented up to date. I like that. I won't remember it again, but I like it. Good thing is, I've got Facebook. He can put it on there in a little while. Repented up to date. You say, we've been standing for a while. Here's what I'm afraid of. Listen. One day, y'all hear me? One day we are going to stand before Him. And in perfect recall, Brian, my heart breaks to say this. But like a big screen, He will flash before me every opportunity that I had and failed, everything that I did, all of my sin, all of the opportunities that I should have taken and didn't. Can you imagine? I'm afraid I'm going to be standing there for a while, Will. Breaks my heart. So, again, all I can do is get repented up to date. And from this point forward, try my best to live a life before Him. You see where I am? Let's worship Him this morning. Forget about the world. Forget about the clock. Yeah, it's ticking. It might be ticking way faster than you think. Can we sing that chorus one time? There's something about that name.
Jesus.
Come on.
Jesus. There's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrant after the rain, Jesus. Oh, well, Jesus, let all heaven and earth kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Yes, there's something about that name.
Yes, there's something about that name.
Thank you. You can be seated, choir. You can be seated. A couple of things just really quick. Please remember Jubilee. We all know when that starts. That's the first full week of March, March 3rd through the 7th. We have the lineup for it. We also have down front all of the addresses for each of the ministers that will be coming to speak to us through that week. So if you want to take the opportunity, just send them a card, send them a note, let them know we're praying for them. They would greatly appreciate that. I know that they always come each time for Jubilee and say how much they appreciate the cards. What a tremendous, tremendous opportunity it is for you to be a blessing to them. It always is. Please remember that. Also, I spoke about it just a few moments ago, but please, if you want to get the book on the Revelation that Brother Jack and Miss Jackie put together, it probably wouldn't be so much for our younger kids, but our older teens on up. If you are interested in it, please go and sign up for that. If you're going to take it and just put it on the shelf somewhere, let's not do that. But if you're going to take it, you're going to study it, you are welcome to it. Everyone else, you want to sign up for it, please go ahead and get your copy of it. Some have already gotten them. That's a great blessing. It'll be a great opportunity in the times that we live to study on the book of the Revelation. They have a bunch of those made up already. Again, they've already passed some out. There's a sign-up sheet down front. If you'll sign up, they'll get you a copy. It would be a great blessing to you, a great opportunity to witness to those around you. Many people have a lot of questions with everything that's going on in the world today. It'd be a great time for you to study, try to kind of catch up on the things that we need to try and share with them from the Word of God. Please be here today. COU is at 4, Brotherhood at 4. You heard Brother Justin talking about that for the guys, and I'm very excited about that. Try to be here if you can. Young men, mature men, we would love to have you all. It'd be a great opportunity, a great time as we start on the study tonight here at 4 o'clock. Where are we going to meet at? We're going to meet downstairs, or are we going to meet up here? I'm not sure where we are as far as...
We have a TV in the children's church.
Okay. Children's church, downstairs, 4 o'clock. All right. Sounds like a plan. Children's church, 4 o'clock. If that changes, we'll be here. We'll find out where we're going. All right? All right. Yes. OPAS are going to be with us. We've been trying to find someone for Thursday night. We had a couple of things that we thought we were going to be able to pull together, and that just didn't happen. Had a choir that we was trying to get for Thursday night, and that wasn't able to be pulled together. So we were able to get Brother Justin called over to the church. OPAS are going to be here with us on Thursday night. So, yeah, that's going to be a blessing. We're looking forward to hearing from them. And they're excited about being here with us. So make that a matter of prayer as well. I know I've taken a lot of time. I don't want to take any more time. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Remember all the prayer requests this morning. Father, we love you, praise you, and thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. Lord, sometimes we get so caught up with a clock, so caught up with time, that I'm afraid sometimes we fail to and we miss out on you, and we spend too much time, Lord, that we don't hear what you have to say to us. And Lord, we thank you for, Lord, I believe, speaking to us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with us in a very special way today. Be with every prayer request that's been spoken and those that are unspoken. You know exactly what is needed. Lord, I pray that you would touch the offering this morning. You know what is needed here at Calvary financially. Lord, I pray that you'd be in Jubilee. And Lord, I pray that you would give us an opportunity, Lord, to be a blessing in our community. Help us to reach out. Lord, give us a spirit of revival. Give us a great day today in the Brotherhood and the COU. Be with Brother Justin as he brings a message this morning. Lord, may your power be in this place today. Save someone would be our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, Old Paths will be here. Highly doubt it if Doug will be singing. In fact, I read where Jeremy Chuck will be taking his place for a little while. But don't let that... Two things. Number one, pray for Brother Doug in his recovery. But those that know and enjoy the Old Paths know that I believe he's the founder of the Old Paths. And the very two people you think about when you think about the Old Paths are Doug and Tim. And but Tim will certainly be singing. And Jeremy Chupp is excellent. I actually talked with him for the first time months ago. And he's a great singer, he and his wife. And they have their own record and have been on tour and things. And so it's going to be an excellent meeting, but pray for Brother Doug. I also found this out, that Kenneth Cockendall is Doug's pastor, and so which is going to be preaching that night. And so it's going to be a good meeting. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. Revelation 21. While you're turning there, my mind is so filled with different things. I'm trying to get it centered around God's Word. But the Ladies' Fellowship on Thursday, February 21st at 6 o'clock. Remember that. Fellowship, finger foods, and fleece blankets. That sounds like a time. And that's in your bulletin, so remember that. Revelation 21, and we're going to start a thought this morning, and it may carry over to tonight, or it may not. But Revelation chapter number 21. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to announce our title, and we will slowly get into the lesson this morning. Heavenly Father, we come one more time in the name of Jesus. We're thankful for Jesus that bridged the gap between fallen man and a righteous God. Father, I pray this morning you'd help us to communicate the truths of your word to the hearts of your people. Let us all be changed by the time we leave today, brought a little closer to thee. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, you'll find that there are at least three homes mentioned in the Bible. And these three homes should be a part of all of our lives. Number one, there's the heavenly home, which is mentioned here in Revelation 21. The second home in the Word of God mentioned is not only the heavenly home, but the church home is mentioned in the pages of God's Word. And then the third home that's mentioned in the Bible, the heavenly home, the church home, but then there's the family home, the family home. This morning I want to preach for a few moments on that subject, and that is the subject of the three homes. The three homes. Now, when it comes to the clock, I don't like looking at it, but I am conscious of the time because, like the old preacher said one time, your rear end won't allow me to preach it more than it can stand. And so we like to be conscious of those things. But nonetheless, there's three homes mentioned in the pages of God's Word. And there's the heavenly home, the church home, and then there's the family home. I want to say that all three of these homes are ordained of God or started by God. It is the perfect will of God that we possess all three homes, the heavenly home, the church home, and the family home. All three homes complement one another. In other words, they fuel one another. They are closely connected. And if any one of these three homes is not in the equation or out of balance, the life of the individual or individuals will also be out of balance. And that is the heavenly home, the church home, and the family home. And every one of these homes affects the other one. And so this morning, let's get right into the scriptures and see concerning, number one, the heavenly home. If you notice in verse number 1 through 3 of Revelation 21, we'll find out that the heavenly home is a reality. So there's the reality of the heavenly home. Number one, it's real. I want to say this morning that heaven is for real. Verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." And so we see right here in Revelation 21, verse 1 through 3, that John refers to heaven at least three times. He said, "I saw heaven. I heard heaven." I want to say this morning that heaven is for real. Now, there was a book wrote, and there was a movie that was shown based upon an accident that happened to a little boy. And you may have heard it. It's called Heaven is for Real. And the little boy, evidently, he had had some kind of problem, and he was nearing death, and he was in the hospital. And as the story says, and as it indicates, that he died, and he went to heaven. Now, I don't bank on that myself, because that's hearsay. That's something a person has said. I kind of tend to think what the Bible says is the truth, where it says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them." Now, when it comes to stories and personal testimonies, you got to be careful, because those things are personal with people. And so we just listen to it and we move on about our business. But this morning, the Bible says in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven." And if that's all the Bible said about heaven, I would still believe it this morning. Because the Bible indicates, and it says, it makes reference to, it says, a new heaven. It says, the holy city. John said, "I heard a great voice," in verse 3, "out of heaven." This morning, when it comes to this heavenly home, one of three homes mentioned in the Bible, there's the reality of heaven, and it's real. I'm glad heaven is for real this morning. I'm glad that I'm saved and I know Jesus as my personal Savior, because if I were to leave today, and God forbid, but if I were to leave today and my family was in a car accident and I died, I know that I know that I know that heaven will be my home. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible also says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And listen, everybody at one point or another will be present with the Lord, lost or saved. But there's a difference between being present in front of the Lord and with the Lord, knowing the Lord and not knowing the Lord. If you're saved by the grace of God and there's been a time in your life where you accepted what he did with childlike faith and just asked Jesus to save you from your sin and take you to heaven when you die, you have repented of a life of wickedness and accepted Jesus, you'll stand before him one day and you will either gain reward or lose reward. But the scriptures are very clear and indicates that our soul will be saved by fire. In other words, our judgment for the Christian is based on service and what we did for Jesus. And we will either gain reward or lose reward, but our soul is safe from a devil's hell. I want to say this morning that there's the other person who stands before God. And this is the great white throne judgment. And this is the place where men give their excuses to God and said, "I prayed in your name. I preached in your name. I went to church in your name and I gave to the poor and I held the door open for little old ladies and old men. And I did all those things. But the Bible says, depart from me, for I never knew you." There's a track out and it says, "Missing heaven by 18 inches. And you know what that is? That's head knowledge versus heart knowledge. And there is nobody in heaven this morning that got there by head knowledge. You can know all you want to about the Bible. You can study the Bible. You can quote the Bible. But unless that head knowledge is registered down into your heart and becomes heart knowledge, the day you stand before Jesus, He will say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And that's going to be a very sad time coming that day. But I'm glad for the Christian there's a heavenly home. We see the reality of that home. It's real. But also we see it's unimaginable, heaven is. Look in verse number 4, if you would. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death," praise the Lord, "neither sorrow," and not even what I'm doing right now, "no more crying," the Bible says. "Neither shall there be any more pain," Brother Allen, praise the Lord, "for the former things are passed away." And He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Aren't you ready this morning for some new things? Aren't you ready this morning to see Jesus high and lifted up with no more pain and no more sorrow, no more scars and no more enemies, no more struggle and no more trials this morning? I'm glad this morning that there's coming a day for the believer that we're going to leave this old clay body and we're going to leave this world and we're going to be astronauts. We're going to be right on with Jesus, caught up into the heavens. We see this morning that there's the reality of heaven. It's real. It's unimaginable. Can you picture going to a place where there'll not be any more headaches? I'll have to be reprogrammed because I'm used to living with headaches. If I didn't have a headache, I wouldn't feel right. I wouldn't. We're creatures of habit, you know. We learn to deal with pain and we learn to deal with struggle. And whenever I get to heaven, I'm going to have to be reprogrammed. I'm going to have a glorified body. Because if there was ever a day I didn't have a little headache, I wouldn't know what to do. Because headaches are a part of my life. They are. I wake up in the morning and say, "Hello, Mr. Headache, how are you?" My headache says, "I'm fine, I'm still here." But you know what? There's coming a day when we get to heaven, if you have the assurance of eternity in your heart, that there'll be no more need for Advil, pain pills, no more need for any kind of sleep medication, heart medication, no more blood pressure pills, amen. And I'm glad of that. And there's coming a day when there will be the experience of this unimaginable place. Do you have someone in heaven you long to see? Do you have a mama or daddy? Is there a grandparent there? Is there a spouse there that you're looking to see? I see Miss Joyce Manning with us this morning. And what a blessing she is. I haven't known your sister Joyce as long as everybody else around here. But I knew your husband just a little bit. And probably he don't remember me because he was fighting what he was fighting there when he was in the home here in Powder Springs, Bethel Gardens. But I said something to Brother Robert. I said, "Brother Robert, you may not know me. And none of this, it may not even register in your mind when I leave that you were even visited by the associate pastor of Calvary." I was talking to him just like this. I said, "But there's coming a day, Brother Robert, where I just feel like in my spirit I'll see you in heaven. And you will remind me and say thank you for visiting me at Bethel Gardens over there when I was suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's." Listen, there is a place called heaven this morning. We got loved ones there. I have a mama there. And my mama has it. She knew the time I got saved and she was with us when we first started pastoring our first church. But she hasn't seen God move in our life like He is now. God is opening doors, and even with just our family, God is allowing us to move and relocate to a better house so we can enjoy it. And I was thinking the other day when we were house hunting, what a joke that is. Man, that ain't fun. It's just like saying I'm shopping for a new church. It sounds good, but it's miserable. So we were out there, and we were looking at this one house, and And Christy was around back, and I went looking for her, like two little kids. And I went around back looking for her and found her. She was up looking through the window. And I said, what are you, Spider Woman? How'd you get up there? She came down and she said, oh, no, somebody pulled in the driveway. And I started running as fast as I could, and I stayed in one spot, Brother Jack, running. It was a hill, and it was muddy, and I fell flat on my face in that mud. This was yesterday. I said, honey, we got to get up. We're about to go to jail. I don't know why I'm always thinking I'm going to jail. But you know what? We got up there, we got in the car, and I got to thinking, what if my mama was here? She wouldn't know that her old boy's doing good and God's been good in his life. And no doubt God has been good to this old boy. But I'm saying there's coming a day when I'm going to see mama in that home and we're going to hug and we're going to make up. I love you, mama. And there's coming a day, sure as I'm an inch tall, I'll see you again. Well, praise the Lord this morning. There's the heavenly home. It's a real place. It's a place that's unimaginable. God's going to wipe away all of our tears. No more struggles. No more pain. Someone asked one time, will I in heaven be able to see what my loved ones are doing on earth? Will someone said, it's going to be kind of sad because I'm going to be in this perfect place, but what about my spouse I'm going to look at? What about my parents, my kids? Well, the Bible indicates that the former things are going to be no more. Look what he says. In verse 4, he says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. I believe God was going to wipe it clean. He's going to wipe the hard drive clean. There's going to be a fresh start. And I don't believe we will be able to behold what's going on down here because there will be no more tears and there will be no more sorrow. Well, praise the Lord this morning. There's the reality of heaven. It's real. It's unimaginable. But then there's the reservation of heaven. The only way to get there is by reservation. Look in chapter number 19, if you would. In verse number 9. Chapter 19, verse 9, the Bible says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. There is, if I can say it this way, there is a table. And there's a seat there to claim if you want to for you and your life. And my prayer is that everybody under this roof this morning, and listen, I've heard the majority of your testimonies. It doesn't even matter with me. It matters to God. But I know the majority is probably saved and the majority has their seat claimed. And your name is there. But there may be one this morning that if you died right where you're sitting, you cannot say with authority and you cannot say with persuasion of heart and soul that I know my name is where my seat's at on the table. You must make reservations to this supper. And so we see that in verse number 9, he says, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so there's the reservation of heaven. There will be a supper, but also you must be on the list. Look in chapter number 20 in verse number 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you want to know the reality of heaven and hell? Let me first say this. If there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. There is two. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And if your name is not found written on the Lamb, in the Lamb's book of life, if there's never been a time and place where you said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross for me. I know you were buried on the third day. You rose again. And you did all of that for me. And Lord, I accept that. I accept you as my personal Savior. This is just how I prayed when I got saved. Come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, and change me, Lord. Take me to heaven when I die. If there's never been a time where you called on Jesus out of a heart such as that, the Bible says that you will not have your name written. You will not have a seat there at the table, but you will be cast into the lake of fire. There is a real hell this morning. There is a real heaven this morning. And this morning you must make reservations. There's the reality of heaven. There's the reservation of heaven, but then there's the ride to heaven, praise the Lord. Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse number 13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, all of those that's passed in the graveyard, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And so right off the bat, Paul is saying that, yes, there's going to be times of grieving for the loss of the physical body of your loved one. But don't sorrow like those sorrow who are kin to them, who love them, but they're dead in the grave with no hope of heaven. You see, sometimes when us preachers do funerals, there's those that have died and we, by the fruits they bear, knew that they were a Christian. Those are easy funerals to preach, aren't they, Brother Allen? But sometimes you're called upon to preach a funeral where you don't know. And you don't want to preach them into heaven, but you don't want to use the pulpit to tell them the other neither. And in a funeral service. Because it's not about you, it's about the family. And sometimes it is the saddest thing when you know that someone has never bore any fruit in their life that testified they belong to Jesus and they died and you know they're in hell based upon the Word of God if they're not saved. And the people that's left behind, they have sorrow. Could you imagine losing a child that you couldn't tell if they were saved or not? What about a spouse or a grandparent? And in the back of your mind, you are thinking, man, are they in heaven? Are they in hell? Well, it's sad. It's beyond sad. How do you live with that? So, but then there's the times where you knew that there was somebody who you loved that passed away, but they lived their life for Jesus. And they were loving and caring and tender-hearted. And it doesn't mean they were perfect. But it means that they had such a genuine salvation that they were on church. They were at church on Sundays. Or they at least talked about Jesus at home. And so whenever they passed away, yes, there will be some sorrow, but not like these that died without God. And the families that are left behind. From time to time, I watch documentaries, and I love documentaries. They just have a therapeutic effect on me. But there's a documentary called Gone Way Too Early. And I watched one the other day, and it was based upon River Phoenix. And River Phoenix being an actor, you know, and they show some of his friends on there. Oh, River, he was, you know, he was an actor, but he was a singer. And they talked about all the parties and all the drinking and all the drugs and all the money. And not one time mentioned religion, did not mention the spiritual side, did not mention anything. And I got to thinking, how sad is that? A movie star that was here that touched lives in some capacity, but is in a devil's hell. I mean, we could go down the list at the actors, and listen, we don't fully know. Only God knows who's saved and who's not saved, because they could have got saved on their deathbed if they had that time extension. But nonetheless, this morning, we are not sorrowing over our loved ones like others who have no hope. Look at verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So they're getting a head start. But in verse 17, the Bible says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be of the Lord. There's coming a reunion day in the air before we even get to glory land. Notice the words caught up here in verse 17. The words caught up is where we get the word rapture. But in the Greek, the words caught up is harpazo, which we have our word harpoon. And you know what a harpoon is. A harpoon is some type of a spear-like instrument with an attachment to it, a rope or a wire, a cord. And that spear is either shot out or launched out. And it attaches itself to something. And then it pulls it back in. Well, Paul is saying there's coming a day when King Jesus is going to step out on the cloud and he's going to harpoon us. And he's going to catch us. And he's going to seize us and then bring us home. Aren't you glad this morning that this world is not our home? We're just passing through. And one day when we can't go any further, King Jesus is coming and he's going to harpoon us. And he's going to call us home to be with him in glory. Whew. This is bigger than me, folks. This is good this morning. And the Lord, he says in verse number 18, wherefore, by knowing these truths, comfort one another with these words. Normally, we follow those out to the graveside as far as we can go with the family. And sometimes we mention that. We say we're going as far as we can go. But we want to comfort you with these words that we will see them again. And sometimes we're not sure if we will or not based on their lives. And others we're sure based upon their lives. But nonetheless, this morning, remember our topic. That is the three homes. And all of these homes, the heavenly home, then there's the church home, the family home. All three of these homes are an intricate part of our life. And the prayer is of mine, and also it's the perfect will of God that we possess all three of these homes. Now, I want to just at least start the second home, and then we'll go home. There's the church, there's the heavenly home, but then number two, there's the church home. The church home. And when I say church home, I'm talking about the local church. And the local church is made up of genuine believers. Now, the invisible church or the spiritual church, that's what we are. We make up the body of Christ. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh by conversion. We're saved. We're born again. We are the body of Christ. And therefore, we don't need a building to worship, but there are buildings to worship in. And these are stationary, stable buildings to carry out the Great Commission. It's the local church. Revelation chapter number 2 and Revelation 3 records the seven churches that are local. They're in Asia Minor. There's the church of Ephesus. There's the church of Smyrna. The church of Pergamos. Thyatira. Church of Sardis. Philadelphia. And then there's the Laodicea church or Laodicean church. These are all local physical churches that embody the spiritual church. This morning we see that there's a second home, and that is the church home. And everybody that has the assurance of heaven in their heart must have a church home. There must be a place that they go to Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, so that they can receive from the Lord what the Lord wants them to have. Keep in mind, any one three of these homes that does not exist, there will be an imbalance in their life. Let me say this. The local church has a threefold mission. Number one, the mission of the local church is to gather. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. The local church has a threefold ministry, and that has to do with to gather. We're to be gathering together. That's what we're doing today. And we're gathering more and more, not less and less. We're not going to run that tangent this morning. But there are a lot of churches. And listen, this is all I'm going to say, and I'm going to move on. I find it hard to believe to have a fruitful, spiritual, thriving life for Jesus, you only go to church once or twice a week. A lot of churches are booming this morning, I believe, because there's only a Sunday morning service. I say that with conviction, and I say that with authority, because the Bible says that we're to meet more and more, not less and less. You say, Brother Justin, you're just saying that because other preachers. No. I'm saying that because it's the Bible. You say, well, aren't you tired on Sunday night? Yeah, I'm tired on Sunday night. I'm really tired on Sunday night. But guess what? When God was calling me into the ministry, I counted the cost, didn't we, Christy? We already knew we was going to have an abnormal life. We already knew that we may not be enjoying a lot of the other things everybody enjoys. But I want to say that there is a ministry in the local church, and never in the pages of God's Word are these doors to be closed, especially on Sunday. Sunday's the Lord's day. And so we're to meet more and more, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is out there. We might draw a huge crowd too if we only had Sunday morning. Y'all quiet on that this morning. Come on now, I've been here for a little while. Y'all gonna have to let me preach sometime. We might have a huge crowd if we only had Sunday morning. You don't know why? Because if it's only Sunday morning, the person knows that they're held less accountable. And we're called to be our brother's keeper. We're called to be our sister's keeper. We're called to hold each other accountable and thrive for God. And how are we going to thrive for God when we only meet one time a week? Sometimes we walk in on Sunday and leave the Bible on the stand in the foyer at your home, and we pick it up the very next Sunday. And we wonder why we're in a mess this morning. I said I ain't going to run this tangent, but golly. There's the church home. And the church home is the local church. The examples are in Revelation 2 and 3. The local church has a ministry. It's to gather. And I'll finish this point. We'll finish up tonight. But it's to grow. It's to grow. 2 Peter 3:18. Notice with me if you would. 2 Peter 3:18. He says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I want to say this, say a couple of things, I'm going to be through. My care for each person in here is this. If you're not growing at Calvary, find somewhere to grow. Because that is the most important part, is growing in the Lord. Now, he says, but grow in grace. I believe grace here has to do with experience. And then he says, and grow in knowledge. We're to grow in knowledge, but then we're to grow in experience. Book of Hebrews also says it is a good thing for the heart to be established with grace. And so for a person to feel a belonging at a church, they have to be growing. But I want to say this. What the pastor has in any church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday is not a substitute between Monday and Saturday. It's to help you and guide. The pastor's job is not to raise your family. The pastor's job is to not raise you. The pastor's job is to set the example, to preach the word, and get it out there. But guess what? This is a partnership. This is a relationship. Sometimes somebody may say, well, I'm just not growing over there. And you know what I like to ask them? How many times you read your Bible during the week? Don't blame it on the preacher. Don't blame it on the preacher. Listen, everything that I say personally from this pulpit, you go home and you judge. I'm not a perfect man. There is not a perfect preacher. But I do my utmost for his highest. And if I am not rightly dividing this word, you have no obligation to stay. Of course, we want everybody to come and we want people to grow. And so that's what we're trying to do, is fulfill that commission and present the word as the word is to the hearts of men and women. And so the mission of the church is to gather, to grow, but then to go is the mission. Mark 16:15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And so we are a missionary-minded church. We're going into all the world. But then sometimes we have to be reminded that we have a Jerusalem here to go into. And sometimes that's the hardest, is the reaching our own people. It's easy to write a check and be a sponsor to a missionary over there in Peru or Alaska even. But guess what, church? We have people here. We have people at Johnny's Barbecue. We have people at the world-famous Monterey's. We have people in our Jerusalem that needs the gospel. And listen, it starts here. It starts right here behind the pulpit. So we do our utmost and our best for that. This morning, I shared these two homes with you because these two homes are very important in our life. The heavenly home, but then the church home. Find that place to grow. If this is that place, praise the Lord for hanging in there with us, because we want to grow too. But then tonight, the Lord willing, unless He changes my heart, we'll talk about the family home. There's a third home. And there's some things that haven't changed the way that family should be and the home life should be. And so we'll do our best to mention that this evening. Let's stand to our feet and we'll have a verse of invitation. If you need to come,